With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. It was a January to remember on Wall Street, with several of the biggest U.S. indexes turning in their best performances since the 1980s. But is that upward trend likely to continue? We'll check in with the Journal's markets team in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. If you bought a new home in November, you weren't alone. New home sales rose 16.9% from a month earlier to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 657,000. Now, despite that increase, sales of new homes were down 7.7% compared to a year ago, and that could mean a bumpy housing market going forward. And higher mortgage rates and a run-up in prices have slowed home purchases over the past year. And the big cities along the coast might not be the best place to start your search for a new job. The job search site Zipia ranks states based on factors such as changes in yearly unemployment, as well as how far your income goes, and says the number one state is Iowa, with Minnesota, Virginia, Nebraska, and Oklahoma rounding out the top five. The bottom five states, according to Zipia, are Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Arizona, and at number 50, Louisiana. It's been a January to remember on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 7.2%, the best monthly gain since 1989, while the S&P 500 turned in a 7.9% gain, its best monthly jump since 1987. So what's behind the big jump in the markets, and are there obstacles down the road? Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar is here with some answers. So Amrith, Wall Street was in the doldrums for much of the fourth quarter, and it seems like what was needed was a good dose of positive news about the economy, and I got a lot of it.
I think that's exactly right. A lot of it driven definitely by the Federal Reserve, which has basically done almost a 180, it seems like, in the 6 weeks between its December meeting and the end of January. And we saw early in January the comments from Chairman Powell really kind of ignited the rally and helped sentiment, which was the biggest thing. People kind of realized that the Fed isn't going to aggressively tighten, at least in the short term, and cause some really big problems for the economy that is set to slow this year. So that's had a huge impact. And then that, along with some economic data that was better than expected, I think, like you're saying, really helped. And also, you have to remember, earnings calls have generally, I think, helped calm some investor fears. Companies like Boeing saying that demand generally is strong has definitely had a positive effect too.
In terms of the Federal Reserve, it really did help bank stocks. And in terms of Chairman Powell's comments just this week, in how he is in favor of a wait-and-see attitude in terms of interest rates until the Fed sees something to change its mind, that's going to benefit bank stocks, I would imagine, for the short-term foreseeable future.
It depends. I think definitely short.
I mean, there are no guarantees.
Yeah.
No guarantees. But in terms of there being a foundation of good news, I would imagine the banks are fairly happy.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because, like small caps and banks were among the hardest hit, along with industrials, toward the end of the last quarter when people were really having these kind of intense recessionary worries. And now they are rallying the most this month. And so at least in the short term, for sure, the yield curve has steepened, which is good for banks. And a lot of them, again, had pretty strong earnings that weren't quite as bad as expected, which is what pretty strong means now in this context when stocks had fallen so much. So I think, yes, in the short term, but people do say, like, moving forward, if you look out, one of the reasons the Fed might be pausing is because the economy isn't doing as well. So it is possible, as people look at these things and depending on what happens with trade and all these other factors, that if sentiment changes, those could go back to being like the hardest hit again. But definitely in the short term and what we've seen in January, they have benefited a lot.
You know, you mentioned the yield curve, and it really has broadened a bit in the sense that it shows us that investors have a lot more confidence in the economy.
I think that's right. I wouldn't even necessarily say a lot more confidence. They're just not quite as worried that a recession is imminent. So
okay.
Toward where we were in the lows in December, I mean, people were really worried and thinking the yield curve would invert, and that has preceded recessions in the past. So people had gotten very worried about that, and bank stocks, again, were kind of the poster child, is what a lot of people say, for that heading into this year, and that's why their valuations were so low. So the yield curve has steepened a bit, and we'll have to see what happens now moving forward as people adjust their rate expectations.
You mentioned corporate earnings a moment ago, and you cite a set of numbers in your story in the Wall Street Journal known as the Citigroup Economic Surprise Index for the U.S. It essentially measures better than expected economic data, and that has turned positive almost across the board.
Yeah, in the U.S. And so developed markets and emerging markets are still firmly in negative territory and have been for a while. So it's a little bit of deja vu where for the first part of last year, where the U.S. was seen as this kind of haven region for some investors from which trade wars are launched. But the economy is doing well enough, even though it's slowing here, that some people still feel confident in some of these areas of the market. So yeah, the U.S. City Surprise Index has turned positive for the first time in 2 months, and commodity prices have come up. So all of these, again, were flashing red in December, and now they've moderated. And so that's kind of calmed some people down for sure.
You know, what's really remarkable here, just to illustrate how strong the U.S. markets were in January, the instability in Europe and China were not enough to really tamp down on market gains. When you consider the interconnectivity of the economies around the world, that really does show you the strength of the U.S. markets.
I think that's right. It's very interesting, too, because markets overseas have also been doing better. So that kind of goes to the idea that in some sense, it has been a bit of a risk-off, risk-on rebound as well. But I think that's absolutely right, that the fact that the U.S. has been able to have these solid jobs reports and people have faith in the labor market and the U.S. consumer has definitely underpinned a lot of this. And again, you have to remember that people are looking at the trade talks as all of this stuff is happening and trying to wait and see what happens there because, like you say, everything is interconnected. So some people are still very worried and saying that it's only a matter of time before this stuff starts having a bigger impact on the U.S. economy.
Well, it's the best January for the S&P 500 since 1987. Let's hope it's not an exact carbon copy of 1987. You know, many of us recall Black Monday in October of 87. It kind of took the wind out of Wall Street's sails.
Yeah, and it's giving some people whiplash, I think, just because December was so bad. It was the worst December in 87 years and now the best January in a long time. So we'll have to see what lies ahead. And yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty because people are saying the Fed has reversed course so quickly that, again, if economic data picks up, if inflation starts picking up, they might have to get more aggressive because it's not just the interest rate increases again, it's the flexibility with the balance sheet runoff. So both of those elements together, they've really been cautious about. And again, in such a short period of time, like about 6 weeks. So there's definitely a lot up in the air heading into the rest of 2019.
Yeah, you really can't look at economic data and be happy with what you see and walk away. You really do have to watch it day to day. Not necessarily change your investments day to day, but really do check the score, to make some sort of a sports metaphor here, to see what the Fed is thinking, what the economic data coming out is. And some of that data is going to be delayed a bit because of the shutdown. So it's going to really take some patience on the part of Wall Street and investors to see if this good string of economic data does continue through January.
It's definitely the dance investors kind of have to do, looking at the data to make sure that it's strong enough to support demand and, again, keep corporate earnings supported, but also not too strong to give the Fed more leeway to change its stance again and start raising rates again. So kind of how that balance plays out moving forward will definitely dictate a lot of things.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar here in our studio. Amrith, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.